Oh man, there is some really interesting stuff going on in live streaming lately. There is a competitor emerging to Twitch, or maybe there isn't. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the live streaming industry and what's happening with it and how it's getting so interesting and competitive right now. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Kick. What's Kick? It's a website. It's this website right here. This is Kick. It might look familiar. It might look like a website you've heard of, Twitch, but it's not Twitch. It's Kick. So is Kick actually a website that could compete with Twitch? Well, we're going to find out today. We're going to break it down in true Devin Nash fashion. Meet the owner of Kick. That's this guy. His name is Eddie Craven. There's been some controversy here. People think that it's like a really big deal, that it's a big secret that like Kick is owned by Stake. What's Stake? Stake's a gambling company. Uh-oh. Big gambling company. They sponsored a lot of broadcasters on Twitch until they couldn't anymore because Twitch basically target banned them with a gambling update. And even though slots and everything is still exist on Twitch, Stake in particular was targeted because much of the live broadcasters on Twitch that were broadcasting gambling to tens of thousands of people were doing it through Stake. So the boys over at Stake said, hey, we don't like that. We're going to make our own live streaming service with blackjack and hookers, and we're going to run Kick. And literally they did that. So Ed Craven is the co-founder of Stake, but also is behind the Kick platform in conjunction with our boy Trainwreck TV, who had a update written some time ago, this is in December 2022, that basically says, yo, Twitch takes too much money and we need to go back to the roots of what gaming and what live stream was all about. We're kind of sick of them taking these huge splits, which I've talked about in a lot of videos. We're sick of an unfair terms of service. We're kind of just sick of the whole thing. So we're going to go do a competing website. And why is Devin Nash making a video about it? Well, because it's like working. Oh my God. So right now, there's a lot of, look at this. There's 2,600 games being streamed on Kick. IRL, 285 categories and 83 are gambling. Now, if you notice the viewer counts here, you'll see that usually gambling streams take up about 30 or 50% of the total viewership of this website. That is notable. Another notable thing is if we look at this by a percentage of active viewers versus the Twitch active viewers. So we'll look over here and find our boy who reports on a lot of streaming-related news. Right now, Kick had the equivalent of 7.4% of total viewers that Twitch currently has. And did another update on April 7th, which is not too long ago, is the time of this recording, that they had about 1.7%. So they kind of hover between 2% of the active viewer base and 7% of the active viewer base of Twitch. So to put that in perspective, XQC, one of the largest broadcasters on Twitch when he is live, typically takes up about 1% to 2% of Twitch's total viewership, meaning that at any given time, you can imagine there's an equivalent of a single XQC streaming on Kick versus a streaming on Twitch, okay? So that actually puts Kick in the running to be a live streaming competitor because that's a lot of viewers. Now, let's talk about viewers for a second. A little bit down here, I think there's like a response kind of interesting. I do think the numbers are dubious, though. I suspect they're using a large amount of embeds based on how quiet most of the chats are. Difficult for me to disagree with this assessment because some limited data suggests 60 to 90% less chatters per viewer compared to Twitch of the same viewership size. We're crunching the same data over here at Nova Agency. And so what is that talking about? Well, that what they're saying there is that a lot of the viewers on Kick may not actually be viewers. And if you have followed some of my videos, notably some of my more popular videos on viewbotting, one of the most effective ways to viewbot is to run a pixelated, basically a single pixel on a popular website that is an embed of a live stream. That live stream gets posted on that website. People view the website, and without even knowing it, they are going to count as a viewer of that broadcast. And notable viewbotting, legal viewbotting, is done by people like FFstrife or people on Twitch. It's really prominent in gaming categories, and Twitch doesn't really do anything about it because ultimately they're getting more viewers on the website that's more appealing to advertisers, so they don't really have an incentive to stop the viewbotting. And I actually think I'm going to go a step further than even this discussion did, and I'm going to say that I think that there are some pretty prominent viewbotters on Kick based on the data that we're crunching. For people that don't have context, my name's Devin Nash. I own an agency that does work for brands and advertising, and so we crunch a lot of data around live streaming. We have found that there are literal view bots on some of the top broadcasts and that they are blatantly obvious. So in terms of like users that are logged out of chat, I've talked to a lot of people over at Kick. I've worked with like some people in the space, and I guess I can't really say how I exactly know this, but I have pretty good data that shows that a lot of view bodied is happening on Kick at higher levels. So the actual number of viewers, the viewer distribution is questionable. And right now, Kick is not doing anything about these view bots. Now, why would they? Because they want to show that their view count is as high as possible. But despite that, one thing that isn't view botted is the number of streams. And I actually look at the health of a platform based of a live streaming platform based on the number of people that are broadcasting there, more so than I do the number of viewers, which kind of sounds crazy. But if you look at Twitch for the last year, I'll pull up those stats real quick. You can see a really interesting ratio that Twitch is down in terms of average channel streamed 8.1% over the course of the last 365 days. And that to me signals that there's also a kind of equal decline in viewership overall. But you'll typically see these two things are correlated, because if there are less streamers streaming, there's usually less viewers that are interested in viewing them. And then you get kind of shrinking of the platform. So the fact that less broadcasters are streaming on Twitch is indicative to me of less people being interested in live streaming overall, which is considering what's happening. Okay. So, Twitch, so Kick is like worth talking about. Like, they have a decent amount of viewers, but, some of those viewers aren't real and they have some other problems. Let's talk about some of their problems. Well, first of all, they've, got some controversy. We're gonna get into that in a second because it's pretty hot, but let's talk about the big one. So, here is Amazon IVS. What's Amazon IVS? Amazon IVS is a managed live streaming solution that helps you build interactive video experiences. What the hell does that mean, Devin? Well, it means that IVS is basically Twitch that they farm out to other people who want to build Twitch-like stuff. So if you want to build a website about live streaming, and except it's focused on cooking or it's focused on gaming, whatever the hell, Amazon doesn't care. They build IVS for you. You can literally just sign up for the service and then bam, you have basically a Twitch equivalent. Well, guess what Kick is run off of? It's run off of IVS. I helped build Twitch's video CDN. When I hear about Twitch challengers, I still can't help but look at how they are serving video. Today's entrant is Kick Streaming. This is an easy one. They use AWS IVS. IVS is the Twitch video system wrapped in AWS. In short, Kick is subsidizing Twitch by paying to use the Twitch video system via AWS. I mean, yes, I think that IVS is the best video system for this, but paying 8 to 10x the cost is not a sustainable growth plan. Completely correct. And you're going to see throughout this video, this is one of the main problems that Kick is going to run into, is they have basically built their infrastructure off of Twitch. The way to understand this is that Twitch, Amazon's in-house service, is running at cost for Amazon, but they are charging 8 to 10x on Kick or any of their competitors who are trying to build a service. And if you have listened to me for any amount of time, I have made tons of videos about Amazon IVS, and I've talked about how this was the moat that Amazon was building in live streaming. The true competition, the competition annihilator for Amazon was not Twitch. Twitch is declining. Twitch is not doing very well. It was Amazon IVS. And the reason why Amazon acquired Twitch all along was so that they could acquire the technology behind IVS. And indeed, Twitch's real claim to fame that nobody kind of talks about is the CDN, the content delivery network, the engineering feat that IVS and the Twitch is, that was built since 2012 to host all of these live streams, encode them at various different encoding qualities. That is a really hard thing to do. And so IVS is the moat that Amazon has built to prevent any other live stream competitors from coming in. And I would say it is a strong moat. It's like a moat with like oil on top of it that lights on fire when you try to cross it. It's a tough moat to beat. So as long as Kick is on AWS, they're running at 8 to 10 times the cost of Twitch's, and that is not sustainable. But there are other problems. I think notably, and it's time to bust out the notepad about some other controversies. Pretty much everybody who was banned on Twitch has gone over to Kick, because Kick, as of yet, has no real enforcement of terms of service. I think one or two prominent broadcasters have been banned temporarily, more as like a show of like, we can do this than anything else. But there have been prominent broadcasters literally showing pornography and sexual acts, rather on themselves or just literally linking and showing porn videos on broadcast. And I'm talking to like tens of thousands of viewers. And TOS has done nothing. There's no terms of service. It's non-existent. It's basically run by like, I think it's literally run by Eddie himself. This, as far as I can tell, I don't know if anybody like works here. I think they might have like a few developers and maybe the dude that owns it. So the fact that people are just getting away with these insane like just literally streaming insane stuff. Like if you go through this, I'm so afraid to scroll through this category right now. I mean, just look at the front page right now, right? Like this is light. But if I scroll down, I'm going to go through everything from streaming like animes to full episodes of movies. Like it is literally the Wild West, which is what Justin TV and Twitch were in early 2012. And you can get away with this when the eye of Sauron, the great government eye, is not upon you. If it's not looking at you, and you can do whatever the hell you want, man. Like sure, okay. But as websites get bigger, as websites scale, they start to get noticed from government agencies. They get noticed from people like hey, you got to enforce your DMCA claims, right? Like YouTube was crazy when it started too, and then eventually Google bought it. It got noticed. They had to implement all this stuff, right? Like Kick is in that Wild West phase where you can kind of do anything, but that's going to present some challenges that we're going to talk about in a second here. So the first one, understanding that these people that are showing porn, that are showing, there's been a lot of hate speech. There's been a lot of crazy stuff on there. And so speaking as a person who runs millions of dollars of ad budget per year, I can tell you not a single dime of advertising is going to appear on Kick from any legitimate F500 business or agency until this stuff is kind of put to heel. No advertiser is going to be here. There are advertisers that will do this, right? Like they're typically low CPM, low reward type of advertisers. There's tons of people that will advertise anywhere, especially pornography-based companies or kind of like more brand risk type-oriented businesses. Like you can find advertisers, but you can never have like a respectable advertising business, which would be the main way that this business monetizes via what's going on here. Now, secondly, big other controversies owned by Stake, right? And that about 30 to 50% of any viewers at any given time are gambling streams. Slots, things like that. You can see on the front page here that there's something going on there. So that's not good, right? Gambling streams were banned by Twitch. And I go back and forth on this. I made a video about this. My take on that is that I think that that is a very hypocritical decision from Twitch. I mean, if you look at Amazon works directly with DraftKings on a multi-billion dollar partnership, right? I think we can pull it up. And they sponsor a huge part of Amazon content on Amazon Prime. I forget what the deal value was. It was a lot. It's billions of dollars. So that's Amazon and Twitch. And by the way, that's all that sports betting stuff is still completely fine on Twitch. So that's basically saying that, hey, we're okay with this type of gambling, but as soon as you do any kind of like luck-based slots gambling, that's not okay. Unless it's not on the websites that we say you shouldn't stream on. So they updated their gambling policy. And you'll see on my Twitter, I posted this some time ago. If I can find it again, it's not in my show notes, but I don't tweet that much, so it's probably pretty easy to find. But you'll see, I got a little bit upset about this when they were doing their gambling thing, because I said, it's not a gambling ban. Headline readers are getting this wrong. Twitch doesn't say they're banning luck-based gambling, only certain websites that aren't licensed in the U.S. So at the end of the day, basically what the gambling policy on Twitch is if we say you shouldn't stream there, and they basically list the websites here, Stake, Rollbit, Dualbits, and Robit, which are basically the ones that like the broadcasters are using at the time to broadcast. But there's a ton of other illegitimate websites that, I'm not saying those websites are illegitimate, but I'm saying there's a lot of illegitimate websites that Twitch didn't ban that are still being broadcasted today by slot streamers, everything that was going on before. It's not a true gambling ban. This is really just an attempt to Twitch to stand up with advertisers and say, hey, we're taking a nod at this. We're trying to do something. So it's pretty hypocritical, as people like Trainwreck have correctly brought to attention for them to do this. And I think that they just kind of had it out for Stake, and Stake got angry. And I mean, basically, Twitch created a supervillain, and that's what Kick is, to understand it, right? So going back to this controversy stuff, the gambling stuff, we can go back and forth on. There's a lot of ethical concerns about it, but I'm going to kind of avoid that because that's not my jam. I'm a marketer. I care about attention and advertising. And from an advertising perspective, there are a huge amount of advertisers that are gated from gambling content. Now, we've seen this in the kind of the casino in Vegas world for a lot of times. You have to be a specific sort of advertiser to even support gambling. It's just a controversial place. And so that's going to sort of nuke a lot of the potential ad revenue of a website like this as well. Also, and this is kind of a bigger problem, it's Arkham Asylum. I don't have that in my show notes. I just made it up right here. But it's literally Arkham Asylum. Meaning Batman's place where he stores supervillains. Literally every single person ever banned on Twitch is on Kick streaming. So a lot of these people, not all of them, but some of them were banned for pretty good reasons, okay? And so some there's been some controversy from people like notable controversial broadcasters like Suspend Us or It's Slicker, who asked a ton of people for money to feed his gambling addiction, including myself. I didn't give it to him because I play EVE Online. I can see a scam from miles away. Notably, notable people like that are just broadcasting on Kick with no problems. They're pretty much, if you go through the Kick categories and you look at the stream titles, so many of them are like banned over from Twitch, like I'm streaming here. So I think that when the inmates literally run the asylum, you're going to have a lot of potential problems there, because some people do change, but people don't change that much. And there's also different classes of criminals, right? Like, there's people that have been banned 5 or 6 times on Twitch, and Twitch finally had enough. There's people that are career criminals in the sense that they just broadcast insane shit all the time, and they're never going to change. And there's some people that Twitch has deep in their permanently banned list for those people that can never come back. There's people that have scammed their viewers. There's people that have really done some bad stuff. And since Kick doesn't seem to be interested in looking at these people, I mean, the implications of that, all it's really going to take is, look, like, you have some of your biggest and most prominent broadcasters, people that I have personally have a problem with. I think that people that should not be platformed, period. Like, I do not believe they should be platformed. Streaming stuff, that everything from hate speech to certain third-party sympathizing with really controversial political angles, and just a lot of really bad stuff. Some people that were broadcasting asking people to hurt themselves for money. Like, this is just, it's degrading to the live streaming industry overall, and it's very annoying to see that this is existing here, and it will not last, because what will happen is that someone will be legitimately put off by this, and the right person at a government body somewhere in the U.S. or somewhere in the EU will get attention to this, and they'll be like, yep, that's not okay, and they will go after Kick for hosting these people, because Kick only has the protection as a platform to host these types of people as long as they are making reasonable effort to knock them off of the platform. That is basically the premise of DMCA, right? I've done a lot of videos on DMCA. Some of you have followed my DMCA stuff. But if you want to understand anything about, like, something like DMCA, where you can stream illegal music, the one thing to understand is this. As long as you're kind of doing reasonable effort to take that stuff off your platform, so YouTube has their content ID system, Twitch has a pretty advanced DMCA and also an automated system that will mute broadcasts. As long as you are putting in reasonable effort, then you can go back to the courts and or to the lawsuits, and you can say, look, because it's the government that's going to sue you, right, for violating DMCA or violating these. And DMCA would apply to a lot of the movies that are being streamed here, a lot of the anime, stuff like that. And they say, look, we're putting in reasonable effort to ban these people, and they keep coming, but we ban them, we permaban them, they can't come back. We IP ban them, and we ban their streams, and we're doing a lot of effort to do this. Okay, then the government says, great, all right, well, sucks that it's happening, but at least you're putting in the work to do it. Keep up the good work. And that's the end of it. On Kick, though, there is really, at the time of this filming, no reasonable effort to stop DMCA. There's no reasonable effort to stop any of these movies being broadcasted, any of these people from hurting themselves, any of this kind of stuff. And somebody is going to go after them for that, and they are either going to have to boss up and start enforcing this stuff, hire, which is a huge pain in the ass for any social media platform. It means hiring tons of people or building automated systems that cost literally hundreds of millions of dollars. They're going to either have to boss up, or they're going to rely on the same thing that kind of Stake does, which is like, hey, we're actually like registered to an LLC in like a hut in the Caribbean somewhere, and you can't get us because we are not in these territories where you can enforce law. Fine, says the United States. Then you just can't have your website here. We'll just block kick.com, as they do for some of the like more like darker net type of stuff. And then you lose that entire theater, and now you're out anyway. So the U.S. and the first theater countries get you in the end, no matter what happens. And that's kind of the end of it. So these controversies, we're going to kind of peel these together and sort of see if Kick really has a shot at competing. But here's some of the problems, right? So let's talk about some of the cool stuff. Well, some of the real stuff that came out in Trainwreck's announcement, if I still have it up here somewhere. Yeah, here. Kick is actually offering a 95% to 5% subscriber split. Holy, and 100% of tips. So by comparison, Twitch takes the largest percentage of any competitive platform at 50% of subscriber income. They also have walked back their 70-30 splits. And they are saying, okay, no longer, even if you're a big streamer, are we giving you the sort of bespoke deal of having 70% of the splits on everyone that subscribes to you. Sorry for people that are following along. Subscription meaning I pay this broadcaster $5 a month and I say I support you. And maybe I get some benefits like a chat badge or some kind of access or whatever. That split, so Twitch was taking $2.50 of every one of those subscriptions. In some cases, they were taking only 30%, but they have basically said that costs too much. We are now going to take 50% of every deal, even from massive broadcasters. I have a video out that shows how really popular broadcasters like Kai Cenat lost millions of dollars just because of the subscriber splits. I mean, it's really crazy. So Kick said, you know what, we're done with that. We're going to go creator first, and we are actually going to give you 95% because we believe that the amount of money that we are going to make as a business from subscriber revenue is not significant enough to justify taking 50% of your money. And guess what? They're right. You don't make any money as a live streaming platform off of subscribers. That's just a really kind of greedy play by Twitch. The real way you make money is off advertising. So you see these kind of cool posts coming out where it's like, it's pretty cool to see streamers making this amount of money, with like some pictures of this guy, Action Man here, saying he got $38,000 as a Kick streaming payout. I think they're just paying out via Stripe right now. Shout out to Trainwrecks TV and Kick streaming for making this process payment process soon. You would need 16,000 subs on Twitch for this same amount. This is around 7K subs on Kick. So that's less than 50%. That's amazing. And it's true, right? A lot of people are making a lot of money off of the 95-5 split on Kick. That is such a good idea from Kick to do to incentivize people. And I think it's a large reason why people are streaming here. It's just, it's a legitimately just way better deal than streaming on Twitch. And you get away with way more, and there's less like terms of service. So sure, like if the users are there, why not stream on Kick? That's pretty cool, right? So I think that that's really neat. And I really like a lot of what Trainwrecks is saying here. I mean, I've done some consulting for Trainwrecks, full transparency, just on this issue, because I am a believer in what he believes in, which is giving more agency to creators and giving more power to creators. I think he is going about this the right way. I also know that he is not the only individual decision maker within Kick. I think if he was, the platform would be, or had more prominence, I think the platform would be even stronger than it is. Because Train has called for a lot of things like banning these people that are these repeat offenders and being harsher, but he just doesn't seem to have the control, the exclusive control. Some people think he does, and that's just not right. There's a lot of moving parts that I don't understand within Kick, but the things that Train has kind of been a sort of spokesperson for this platform, and a lot of the stuff that he has said, I mean, I agree with. I just think that Twitch is taking unfair amounts of splits. I think that they have become very bloated and very arrogant as first movers and number one, and creators are really not benefiting from anything on Twitch, whether it be the discovery and getting more viewers. Whatever like service that the Twitch provides isn't really worth the price of admission, which is 50% of all of your money, basically, and a huge amount off the top as well, and no discovery. So I just don't agree with it. So that said, if you are a creator, what should you do? Like what's the answer right now? Well, I think this is really interesting. So like, let's say we're gonna like small creators, medium creators, and large creators. There's a huge amount of people that watch this that are live streamers themselves, and this is the segment for you. Also, people that are just interested in the marketing world that watch this. This will be interesting for you. Should you go stream on Kick? Well, notably, Twitch has a multi-streaming policy. I don't think I actually have a show note on this, but I did confirm it somewhere where... I do have it, of course. Good. So Twitch has an exclusivity clause for affiliates and partners. It applies the same way both to affiliates and partners. And basically what it says is we do not allow simulcasting, which means multi-streaming, so streaming at the same time from Twitch to another service, on web-based Twitch-like services that support streaming for an extended amount of time, such as YouTube and Facebook, because we believe engaging two streams at once can lead to a suboptimal experience for your community. Yeah, who's that? Why? Because you think that it's a suboptimal experience for your community? It's not, oh, we want to lock people to Twitch completely so that they don't have the option to build brands anywhere else and they have to use our platform because they're literally chained to us. That's what that is. This is one of the things that pisses me off the most about Twitch. They are super, super draconian about this. And for that reason, you won't see many people that are streaming on Twitch and streaming on Kick at the same time. They will say, hey, I'm going to stream on, like the strategy is, they go to Twitch, they start their stream, and then they say, hey, I'm going over the Kick. Everybody go over here. And they bring their viewers over that way. It's one of the main ways that Kick has acquired users. And this is probably written into their contracts for Kick, because a lot of people are getting paid by Kick to do this right now. I suspect that that's fine, right? That's like a good sponsorship, good call to action. But bottom line here, Twitch is very draconian about this. They will not allow you to stream to Kick and Twitch at the same time. They will allow you to stream to services like TikTok and Instagram. They don't understand that TikTok Live is a viable competitor to them. So streaming on TikTok, everybody should that's a partner or affiliate should be multi-streaming to TikTok Live, like full stop. It's crazy if you're not doing that. So why do we bring up the multi-streaming thing? Well, because if you're a small creator, not affiliate or partner, there is absolutely no reason, okay, to not multi-stream. There is absolutely no reason not to multi-stream. There is absolutely no reason to multi-stream. Do not listen to YouTubers. Do not listen to Twitch. Do not listen to anybody that tells you that multi-streaming is bad because it dilutes your audience or because rate limits your discovery because platforms pay attention to it. All that is a lie. Nobody that is creating that content, it drives me crazy. There are prominent people in this space giving you horrible information, and they do it because they're not in the game. They're not practicing. They make videos about streaming. They're not doing it themselves. They're not actually seeing this happen like I do with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of broadcasters and the success that I see from them running these sponsors for them every day. Nobody has the context I do. So I'm telling you right now, multi-streaming is the number one thing you can do as a small creator to be able to grow your brand in multiple places. You are like, it's literally like if you plant a bunch of seeds, okay, in different locations, you're going to have more trees, right? If you plant a tree in one location, then that's where that tree grows. If you plant three trees, you've got three trees growing, and you got all the more fruit that comes from those trees. Make sense? That's how multi-streaming works. Small creators, you absolutely are doing yourself a disservice by not streaming to stuff like Kick and Twitch at the same time, but I'm going to make a huge caveat here. Be very careful where the people paying you are going to live. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Really important. Medium creators, if you've accepted an affiliate deal, you've done so because you have not watched Why You Should Never Become an Affiliate by Devin Nash, but you've accepted an affiliate or partner deal, okay? I'm going to give you some unofficial advice as not an agent and not a official affiliated person, okay? Twitch just fired like 70% of their terms of service teams because they did a bunch of layoffs. If you were an affiliate and a partner that was multi-streaming, and, you know, Twitch would probably never catch you unless you had, like, probably 15,000 to 20,000 viewers doing it. Like, you're, like, literally one of the most prominent people on Twitch. And then they do catch you, and term services, hey, you can't do that. Now, I cannot express to you how unlikely this is, but, like, let's say they do. Hey, you can't do that. You go, oh, I didn't know. I've never watched a Devin Nash video in my life. I'll never do that again. And then you're done. But for that entire time, for the past, like, time that you did that before that, you had all of that discovery coming in from those other platforms, you could, in theory, as an affiliate or partner, multi-stream until somebody tells you not to. Now, I would never in my life recommend doing something like that and violating Twitch terms of service. No. But if you were to, and because, you know, you just thought it was an interesting idea, you'd get more discovery. And you get way more discovery by that because Twitch does not inherently do any work for your discovery. Now, again, you got to be careful where those viewers actually pay you and live. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's going to be really important, so stay tuned. Okay. Actually, should we talk about it now? No, we'll finish the large creators thing. Large creators get a paid deal. Get a paid deal. That's all it is from Kick. And then decide. There are these periods of time in the content creation industry where these platforms come along and they start with a huge amount of money. It happened to Twitch. It happened to YouTube. YouTube did a bunch of paid bespoke deals. YouTube did a bunch of paid bespoke deals. Twitch did a bunch of them since 2015 and stopped doing them pretty much. We're not really hearing any creators getting paid deals from Twitch anymore. And now Kick is the platform that's doing that. You remember Mixer bringing over Shroud and Ninja for millions of dollars. There is a period of time where you as a large creator can really benefit from taking a paid FU money deal, right? Where it's like, hey, I'll pay you $3 to $5 million to go take your 10,000 viewers over here for 2 years. Let's say, yeah, take it, man. Because we've shown again and again and again, people like Shroud that went over to Mixer didn't lose their viewer base at all once they came back to Twitch. If you do have to go back to Twitch, like those people will be there, the followers will be there, your brand will still be there. If you have built a brand to the degree that these large creators have, you will be able to go to another platform, bring your viewers over there, make your bread, come back and then if you want, and then still have that plus $5-10 million, which is what Shroud did. And Shroud is now a more popular broadcaster than ever. Well, you might say, well, Ninja Didn't do that. And Ninja is a less popular broadcaster. Yes, but not because he went to Mixer. It's because of a lot of conflicting factors. He kind of got into a bunch of other stuff. Fortnite is not as popular as it once was. It's been replaced by other games. So there are a bunch of reasons why that happened. It is not because he left. So for large creators, get a paid deal if you can, and then decide what you want to do. And that benefits Kick, yes, but also benefits you with the kind of the FU money. Now, you were hearing me talk about, be very careful where the people paying you are going to live. What does that mean? It means that if you draw a ice cream cone, classic marketing, this is the marketing master Devin Nash here, giving you a technical scientific thing with his favorite, second favorite thing. Oh my God, this is the worst ice cream cone I've ever drawn. But here it is, okay? It's not a triangle, it's an ice cream cone. At the top over here, can we get a brush, sir? Oh, there it is. Okay, at the top over here, this is called top of funnel, which means how are people discovering you? As they go down this funnel, the idea is they are eventually paying maybe for products or services. For most creators, they're paying for subscriptions. They're paying to support this person. So at the top of funnel, how does somebody find you, first of all? Well, maybe they watch a YouTube video. That's the top of funnel, right? Now, how does a person give you money? Maybe they subscribe to you on YouTube. That would be like right here, right? Maybe they subscribe to you on Twitch. Or maybe they buy a product of yours that you're, or a course or something, right? So for example, like on my top of funnel, I do this, caveat that I do this basically for fun. I run a business full time. That's where I make my money. So this is the kind of stuff I just talk about because I'm interested in. But a lot of people are like, hey, that's really cool. I want to support you. So what's my funnel? My funnel is, I hope you find me on YouTube on a video like this. And then you go, damn, Devin's really cool. I'm going to go to his Patreon and I'm going to go see that there are literally 90 videos there about teaching about business and marketing concepts for $5. And I'm going to subscribe to that right here. That's my funnel right there, right? So that's an example of a funnel, patreon.com/DevinNash, which works really well because it's a very high value at all levels. Like you're hopefully getting value for free from watching this YouTube video and learning about the live stream market. And you're getting even more value if you go to my Patreon. That's an example of this. So why did I choose Patreon, right? That's a very deliberate decision. Because why am I not like streaming on Kick and then like I'm having like getting a 95% split there, for example? Well, because your subscribers will live in a certain place and they will have a hard time moving around. And for that reason, you want to be very careful about where the people paying you money live. I like that the fact that they live on Patreon for two reasons. One, they give me 92% of the money that I get. So I don't want my subscribers living on Twitch because like what this is an example funnel that a lot of content creators do. They say, okay, I'm going to start streaming on Twitch and then I'm going to funnel people into Twitch. Well, guess what? You're losing $2.50 on every single one of those people before taxes. And your taxes are $10.99, so you're also paying a huge amount of self-employment tax as well. You're losing a ton of money off the top just by having your subscribers live on Twitch. So I don't want my subscribers to live on Twitch because I'm paying way too much money to the federal government. I'm paying way too much money back to Twitch that I don't think they deserve. So I think that YouTube is a better top of funnel platform than Twitch is. In fact, I know it is. But let's say that I didn't. I streamed on Twitch. I would still say in the title of the video, do not subscribe on Twitch. Subscribe on Patreon. And by the way, you get a ton more benefits because I can give you more benefits than just like a chat badge. I can give you stuff like videos. I can give you stuff like XYZ, right? All down the list. So where your subscribers live is very important. And things like splits and things matter. I love the fact that Patreon gives me 92%. And I also, second reason, and this is the really important thing you got to pay attention to, I also feel like Patreon is kind of going to be around. Pretty profitable business. They've been around for multiple years. I don't think Patreon's going to close its doors. They haven't been affected by the tech layoffs and the recession too bad. They've been doing pretty well in the creator economy. Everything's going good. So I put my people on Patreon because I expect that platform to be around in a while. And also because I can offer them a lot of cool features and a lot of cool stuff. Good. Do you want to put people on Kick? Because is Kick going to be around in 3 to 4 to 5 years? Well, we're going to answer that question at the end of this video. We're going to kind of do the conclusions based on the information you now know and some of the information that I know about what's going to happen. But suffice to say that you should be very careful making that decision, even though you are going to make 95% of the money on Kick, and that is really attractive. You have to be careful because if this website is not around in a year and a half and you've built up 500, 1,000, 2,000 subscribers on it, moving those subscribers to another place will be hard and you will lose roughly 30 to 40% of those people in transition. So that sucks. And be aware of that. That's a really important thing. Okay? So those are some of the kind of considerations of being on Kick. Let's talk about the sort of like what's going to happen. What are the conclusions? The big cheese, the big kind of stuff, the truth about like what's happening behind Twitch and Kick and what I think is going to happen. But before that, That's right. Some of my regular people might know what's coming. What are we? We're 34 minutes into a Devin Nash video, and you're still watching, still supporting. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. This is a shout out. If you have been here for 34 minutes and 50 seconds, please put in the comments that you're still here. I read every single one, and I just really appreciate it. It's just our little thing we do. And I don't have many shouts because I already shouted out my Patreon, patreon.com/Devin Nash. It literally, just go check it out. I literally post 90 videos, not an exaggeration. Those videos aren't anywhere else. Sometimes, like really rarely, I post one up here. I think I've done it like once or twice. I teach marketing. I teach business concepts. I give insights into stuff that only I and very few people have because we are in the agency world running millions of dollars of ad budget. It is a great opportunity for content creators. It's a great opportunity for business owners that want to level up their game and understand marketing more. Or just people that are interested in the space. $5 gets you in. There's some other tiers, but $5 gets you every video and always will. And I put up about one a week usually. So it's patreon.com/Devin Nash. I really appreciate your support. And also, if you are a brand and you are interested in working with Novo, we do work for brands. So Novo.tv is my company's website. I'm the co-founder along with my friend Matt. We operate a full white glove business that takes brands and does their marketing campaigns with influencers authentically and transparently from the ground up. If you want to look into more of that, Novo.tv is that website, and I would appreciate you. That's my shout outs. Thank you guys for being here. Let's talk about the big stuff, all right? What is going to happen with Kick? What is this? The future. It's what you're here for. Okay, so generally speaking, I think that Kick has three really big problems to solve that are essentially unsolvable. I want to caveat that live streaming in general is a niche type of thing, and that even Twitch hasn't solved a lot of these problems. I don't want you to think of Twitch as like this amazingly profitable business that like does super well. It doesn't. Like it's got a lot of problems. And some of the problems we're about to talk about are some of its problems. But further, I just think that Kick has some really big problems to solve on its way to getting profitable and being an actual contender. And they're not like the problems that I even mentioned before. They're like real big problems. The first one is that advertising is going to be way too hard. I'm not going to repeat in the beginning of the video why this is, but sales and white glove service sales will be difficult because of brand risk. There are some people that believe that advertising in general is moving towards being less brand friendly. That is to say that like companies are coming around, corporations are coming around, and they're willing to advertise with less scrupulous individuals. Let me tell you from the bottom of my heart and my ad budget that that is not true. Every brand is even more afraid of advertising with brand risky people. And I think the reason for that is dramatic and cultural in first theater countries. We are more polarized as a world, especially in the United States of America, than we ever have been before. Brands are just terrified of pissing off the other 50%, whether that be like left or right, whatever. And any kind of political talk, any kind of like weird pornography stuff, any of that stuff, brands just shake their heads and say, look, there's enough creators, there's enough stuff. Like we can just go advertise with those people authentically, and then we can kind of get our message out there, and we don't have to like deal with some huge cancellation. Like people are really terrified of cancellation culture, both individuals and brands. And they just, you never know when you're going to be the next brand that's in the crossfire, losing millions of dollars because everybody's just decided to boycott your brand for one $10,000 activation you did on some forum or something. It's just not worth it. It's not going to be worth it. We're not moving towards being, let's be very clear, in the marketing world, I speak with absolute certainty on this. We are not moving towards a more brand risk friendly world. We are moving towards a less brand risk friendly world, and everything in the advertising world is showing that. So I think that Kick is going to struggle super hard with this concept because there is a whole lot of brand risk on that platform, enough to scare off even risky agencies. Like I wouldn't even consider myself a risky agency. We were more risky when we started. We're working with bigger brands now, so we're more conscious of like really paying attention to brands and their concerns legitimate concerns about who we should advertise with. But even when we were a risky agency, like what the riskiest I was like 2 or 3 years ago, I would not advertise on Kick. I wouldn't recommend any brand does because I just think it's too crazy. I just don't like the hate stuff going on over there. And this isn't like hate stuff, like the people that claim that hate stuff is going on Twitter where there's like no evidence for it. Like you can just see it being broadcasted in front of tens of thousands of viewers. You can go to Reddit and find clips on it. It sucks. And that's got to stop. I think that both ethically and effectively, advertisers should not support Kick until they take a stance against that. Now, notable influencers like Trainwreck TV have said the same thing and have said, yo, like, I really have been pushing Kick to do harsher terms of service against these particular outliers. I'm not saying you need to button down Kick in this, like, crazy way, and it's gonna be like Twitch where it's like, oh, that bikini is too small, but that one is too big, or like all that BS. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the deliberate, like, dude, this guy's like, what? Okay, guys, what we're doing today is we're watching the entire Lord of the Rings marathon. Or, like, okay, guys, what we're doing is we're going to talk about why this particular class of people is, you know what? Stop. Like, get all that stuff out of there. That doesn't belong anywhere. That kind of stuff, especially the hate stuff, that does not belong on any social platform. And, like, social platforms have a responsibility, I would argue, and the platform itself has a responsibility to remove that stuff. Come on, guys. Level up. Like, get rid of that stuff. All right, nobody's going to advertise with you until you get that stuff done. But it's worse than that. There's a lot of copyright systems, okay? And then, like, laws. Laws, all capital, okay? And just, like, is Amazon pissed, question mark? Like, what about that? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on the Kick front page that looks pretty similar to Twitch. And Kick has basically said, well, that's fine because we use our own code. And I think they do use their own code. But still, like, can Amazon come after them for something? Is Amazon going to do that? I'd say it's pretty likely. Ultimately, all they have to do right now is just kick them off IVS. So we can, if Amazon was really pissed about this, they would just be like, boot, off of IVS, website is down in minutes, right? They obviously would rather have Kick paying them however many millions of dollars it is to run this website right now per month than they would do that right now. So we can kind of safely assume that Amazon is not pissed off yet. But if they do, the big slapping hand of the trillion-dollar company comes around, and what is Kick going to do? And as always, regulation limits growth, right? It's just more regulation makes stuff slower, more bureaucratic, and more difficult. We've seen that with YouTube. We've seen that with Twitch. And there's just problems abound when the government takes notice of you. And there's another one that I want to talk about. And this is actually, like, a really interesting concept around a marketing concept I want to talk about. And something I think most people haven't talked about, and that's why it's cool. And I want to talk about it, and it's called the network effect. But before we do that, I'm actually going to talk about scale. Being locked to IVS prevents scale. That is to say, as long as you're paying 8 to 10 times the cost it takes for Amazon to run it, ultimately, even if you have the same viewership as Amazon, you're never going to be able to compete because, like, from a standpoint of using IVS, it's just going to cost more to run. And there's nothing that Kick can really do about that besides build their own servers, which is a huge commitment to infrastructure. I think one thing that I will say about Twitch, and I will say about their former CEO, Emmett Shear, that he did exceptionally well was build a badass underlined content delivery network. It was for its time, it is the best live streaming service. I think YouTube has surpassed it, but for its time, Amazon bought Twitch on that basis, and they did that incredibly well. For Kick to repeat that miracle and build a encoding service from the ground up for live streaming is going to cost tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and the best engineers in the tech space. It will be hard. And I don't think that Kick can do it. I just don't. I think that ship has sailed. So I think that as long as they're locked to IVS, it's going to prevent scale. If they do build their own servers, that it's going to cost a lot of money to do, and it's going to limit the amount of viewers that can come to the website based on the reality of how much the service can support. Network effect, this is a kind of cool marketing concept, basically says that the more users, people using the platform, content being created, the more that gets made, the more stuff happens. It's kind of like, if you ever heard in business, there's a thing called a flywheel, which is like, this thing leads to this, which leads to this, which leads back to this. And so that circle just keeps going. A network effect means, like, let's say that there is 50 users creating content on one website, but another website has 50,000 users creating content on one website. Now there's more to talk about on that website. There's more collaboration opportunities. There's just more network effect. There's a bigger kind of pulse going outward, a bigger radius of possible stuff that can happen, of possible people. And so because Twitch has what's called the first market advantage, the first mover advantage, meaning that they have come to market first effectively, they have dominated the market, they own over 80 to 90% of the market, they just have a huge network effect. Like, stuff happens on Twitch. Like, so here's an example of a network effect. Hey, I want to run an event. Okay, where do I run that event? Am I going to run it on Kick? Well, if I run it on Kick, sure, I might get some users and my subscriptions might be more, but hey, the network effect of running that event on Twitch is much more likely to get out there to people doing collabs, to get discovered. Like, large events are something that can get discovered on Twitch because of the way the network effect works. Small broadcasters, medium-sized creators, not so much. But Network Effect works really well for events. You are more likely to run an event on somewhere like Twitch. Now, this is why YouTube, when they were acquiring people for their live streaming service, they're buying people like Ludwig and Dr. Lupo, because these are people that are frequently running events. They're people that run things like Smash tournaments or charities. These events create bigger network effects across the platform. So YouTube, in their acquisition strategy, which I think is the most intelligent acquisition strategy that any live streaming platform has had, Twitch was just throwing darts at a board for who they supported based on viewership. And now they're doing more events-based stuff. There's a Twitch events team, and you can see stuff like coming out of it. Like they sponsor OTK, and they recently sponsored streamer awards and stuff like that. So they've gotten wise, but YouTube realized this way before them, like 2 or 3 years, and they were trying to create a bigger network effect on YouTube effectively. And I would argue that they did do that, and they've created a lot of successful collaboration opportunities via that. So without that first mover advantage and without the network effect, I think that Kick is in for some extremely difficult times, because they just do not have that radius, that pulse that Twitch has. So what does it mean for you? It means that Kick is most likely, I would say, greater than 90% not going to work. I'd say I'm being really generous with that 90%. I would also say get it while it's good. So if you're a small creator, medium-sized creator, sure, why not multi-stream, man? Just put your viewership over there, see if you can get discovered. And also, be sure that you diversify your communities and your money into a safe place. So again, talking about Patreon, talking about places where you can be kind of sure that people are going to live for the foreseeable future. I like also, when I ask people to kind of live somewhere, I have Discord. So I have a discord.gg/Devin where people come and kind of discuss things, because I really think that Discord is kind of here to stay. I'm pretty confident in that Discord server. So I have people go there. You got to think about these kind of things where it's like, if your entire community just like lives on Twitch or live on Kick, like you're very vulnerable to market changes. Okay. So yeah, Kick is probably not going to be like a strict Twitch competitor. There's never going to be somebody that owns like the percentage of the live streaming market that Twitch does. And it, mainly just because like real contenders like Microsoft already tried, you know, your really big companies of the world. YouTube live streaming is just such a small part of YouTube's overall strategy, because their VOD is so strong and their shorts are so strong. These are just behemoth platforms or people that have already kind of given up on this. I think that Kick might absorb 4 to 10% of Twitch's total viewership. And to me, hey, that's a success. Bigger than Mixer. It's bigger than other platforms that have come before. But it will be a kind of niche that will struggle with these issues. And hey, 4 to 10%, you kind of have to decide, right, as a content creator. Maybe 4 to 10% of a smaller pool is greater than 0.0001% of the ocean. You know, you have to kind of decide that. And that's a kind of interesting thing to sort of explore. So is Kick here to stay? In my mind, I think that the people behind Stake probably have bazillions of dollars, crazy amounts of money. They're throwing it at Kick to see what will happen. And there's another really interesting thing that I want to leave you with, which is like, maybe Kick doesn't even need to monetize via the traditional advertising and the way that Twitch has to. Maybe their whole goal is to throw people over to Stake, and they know that the lifetime value of a user on that platform gambling is going to be high enough that they can justify basically spending money on Kick as a marketing expense. This is kind of similar to like the esports model of publishers with stuff like OWL and League of Legends, right? The LCS, where LCS is basically just part of the marketing budget line item of League of Legends. They're not intending to make any money off of that production and broadcast. Like, sure, it'd be great if they get some sponsors. It's nowhere near what it costs to run. But more people will watch the stuff, more people will play the game, more people will buy skins, and thusly, the marketing will pay for itself over time in the long term through brand exposure and such. Maybe Kick has the same idea, where they're just saying, look, okay, like, we know we could never monetize this website from an advertising perspective because of people like Devin Nash saying these reasons, but maybe we could, don't need to. Maybe we could just run 30 to 40% of the total broadcasters over on gambling. We don't have to sponsor these people on Twitch anymore, which is saving us millions of dollars. So they'll just live on Kick, and then they'll throw people over onto Stake, and then people will gamble, and people will make us a ton of money that way. Maybe that's really their strategy. And that's like not actually a bad strategy. Like, if they're really only going to absorb 4 to 6 to 10%, I would estimate, of Twitch's audience generously, right? Well, that's not that much to in hosting costs. At that point, your ROI just becomes, let's throw those users onto Stake through advertisements or through broadcasters literally telling them to do it. And maybe that becomes our funnel. Like, so back to the funnel picture, right? Maybe their top of funnel is actually Kick, And then they plan to convert people to stake, where the lifetime value of a user ended up gambling might be thousands of dollars because they just throw that on slots, right? And they make money, and the house always wins over there. That's kind of an interesting idea, alternative for Kick, which is one way I do think this platform could succeed. And like, if you're, it really depends on what your definition of success is, right? If your definition of success is, well, we're going to compete with Twitch, and we're going to have the same viewers, and we're going to get enough advertisers to pay and make profitability. Hey, guess what? Twitch can't even do that. So you got to think of something different, because there's no way that's going to work, right? Like, the grand poobahs at Amazon can't even make that happen. So if your model is, hey, we're going to stay small, we're going to stay authentic, we're going to try to avoid government regulation as much as possible, you're going to be able to do more over here than you can do on a website like Twitch. So all of those people come over here. And by the way, we're going to run ads against Stake, and we're going to have a lot of people convert to higher LTV over on Stake. Okay, well, then maybe that actually is a viable way to do this. And if that is the thinking of these people, of your Eddies of the world, that could work. And it's actually kind of a cool idea. I mean, like, if, as long as you take the ethics out of it, right? It's kind of neat. But I will say that one of the things that I really like about Kick is I really like the idea of putting creators first. I do believe they're doing that. For whatever reason, I don't know. But then it's like the 95.5 sub splits coming at it from this angle of like, yeah, Twitch just kind of sucks, right? Like Twitch just is just kind of a not so great. it's cumbersome. It's the terms of service are really unclear. The people at the top like clearly don't know what they're doing. The platform isn't doing anything really exciting. The idea of like having a platform that is more creator focused is kind of interesting and is really worth exploring. I think that's why Trainwreck's got behind it, and I'm interested to sort of see what happens with it as a result of that. And I do believe in Trainwreck's. I kind of always have. Like, we've done podcasts together. We've been friends for a long time. So I think he wouldn't get behind something unless he saw the future of it. Now, despite that, I'm giving you the caveat that I do think Kick is going to fail. It's almost certain for reasons totally outside of his purview. And the reasons mentioned in the 50 minutes of this video. But it's a hell of an interesting ride, isn't it? Just kind of seeing what's going to happen with this platform and the fact that they've managed to get this far. Oh, my God. Cool. So I'm all ears. I'm here for it, right? I love anything that is going to benefit creators more, and it's going to help content creators succeed even more. So that's cool to me. Let's see what happens, right? Leave comments. Let me know what you think about this. Do you think Kick is the future of streaming? Do you think there is a future for streaming? Yeah, let me know. And thanks, everybody, for supporting me and just continuing to watch these videos, even though they're like an hour long of me ranting. I actually do put a lot of work into these. There's a good amount of research that goes into these, believe it or not. And you really help by subscribing and just by supporting the broadcast so that I can do more of this. Thank you, everybody. I will see you guys again for the next video. Bye.